Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. Michelle Whitlock lost her uterus, never to be seen or experienced an orgasm again. Yet in the process, Michelle found her voice, one of cancer survivorship, and she speaks of falling in love, battling HPV, human papilloma virus, and cervical cancer, facing sexual dysfunction head-on with her husband Mark, confronting her conflicting feelings about motherhood, all while becoming her own best advocate, which she has chronicled between the pages of How I Lost My Uterus and Found My Voice. Michelle, it's great to have you on Body Language.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is a fascinating story, subtitled Being Frank About Sex, How I Reclaim My Lady Parts After Cervical Cancer, and I found you on the Cure Magazine website. You wrote a fascinating blog. Would you please read the first paragraph from your Cure Magazine blog?
I would love to. I love Mark, my husband of nearly 4 months, and yet I couldn't bear the thought of him touching me. Our newlywed life was not going as we had imagined. In fact, I avoided undressing in front of him and hugged the edge of our bed at night. He took his cues from me and never attempted to cross the invisible barrier in the center of our bed. I knew I wasn't being fair to him. I wanted to invite him in. I longed to be the way we were before, but I just couldn't do it.
You didn't sign up for this program willingly, and I would assume that most people who acquire HPV don't. Do you have some idea to this day how you acquired HPV?
Well, what I know about HPV is that it is a common sexually transmitted disease, and you can't tie it to a person, and it is not a sign of infidelity or promiscuity. It can be sex one time, with or without a condom, even just heavy petting. And you could get HPV because it's a skin-to-skin spread disease.
In fact, the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, estimates that over 20 million people, 15% of the population, are actively infected at any given time with HPV, and over 6 million Americans are newly infected every year. It sounds like an equal opportunity STD to me.
Absolutely. And it has no signs or symptoms usually. So most of the time you don't even know you have it. Your body, your immune system kicks in, it can fight it off, and it's gone, and you never knew it. Only when there's a persistent infection.
Or genital warts,
that's the other part. And so people need to understand that there's 100 different strains. Some are low risk and cause things like warts, and some are high risk and are carcinogenic and cause cancer.
How is your HPV picked up?
For me, I went in for a pap test.
Aha, your annual pap test?
My annual pap
good
test.
Good for you.
You know, the recommendations today are for it to be every 3 years versus annually, like when I was getting treated. But they did this HPV test at the same time. And I got that phone call that said, oh, your pap is normal, but you tested positive for high-risk HPV.
Now, was that test done with your permission, or did they just run the whole panel?
She just ran the whole panel. It's one swipe in the vagina on the cervix, and they can run both tests. So I never knew until I had the results.
What were the results of your cervical cancer? What happened?
Well, I was told I had to have a radical hysterectomy. I was 26. I had only been dating Mark for 6 months.
Now, in terms of a radical hysterectomy, did you also have an oophorectomy? Were your ovaries, fallopian tubes removed too?
Well, at that time, I didn't even choose the radical hysterectomy. But yeah, when they use the word radical hysterectomy, which is only done in cancer cases, it does mean taking all of the reproductive organs and the tissue around the reproductive organs and the top part of the vagina. So I was like, no way, don't sign me up for that. And I found an alternative procedure that has really good success rates. I'm just not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so 2 years later, my cancer returned. And when it returned, I did have to have that radical hysterectomy followed by chemo and radiation.
You said in your Cure magazine story, remember the fear and anticipation you had the first time you had sex? Now imagine doing it with damaged goods.
Yep.
What are the damaged goods? And because that's a big part of our conversation here in terms
of... I think our sexuality is such a core part of who we are and how we feel about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so when all my treatment was done, I was left with 2 inches of vaginal canal. And even that had atrophied and shrunk up because of the radiation. And so even natural lubrication didn't happen. And so it was short, it was dry, it didn't stretch. And then I had to think about trying to have sex. And so that was a pretty terrifying experience.
Did you do more than think about it? Did you actually have sex under the circumstances?
Not initially. Mm. Initially, it was, all my signs that I gave to Mark were stay away. And but at the same time, there was that part of me in the back of my mind that kept thinking, he's a healthy 29-year-old with a healthy sexual appetite, and intimacy is a big part of relationships.
Absolutely. So what did you do to improve the potential that you could have intercourse?
Well, we started talking about it, and we talked about the fact that it was going to be a hard process, and getting him to understand that, I know, a man, you want to please your partner. Well, the beginning of sex, it wasn't going to be about pleasing me, because it was going to hurt, and he was going to have to be okay with that hurt. In fact, I remember the first time I put a pillow over my face, I was crying in the pillow, and I said, you have a few minutes here. You better be able to think all about yourself and get it done.
Our guest is Michelle Whitlock, who is the author of How I Lost My Uterus and Found My Voice. How did Mark do under the circumstances? Or how did you do? Well, that's the better question.
I think for me, it was painful, and I knew it was going to be painful, so I was probably more tense. But at the same time, I had that fear of, well, what's it going to feel like for him? Is he going to enjoy it? And, he's a tough cookie, because it's pretty hard to have sex and actually reach an orgasm when your partner is under a pillow crying her eyes out, and you know that what you're doing is causing severe pain to her.
But you were persistent, and I understand you used a set of dilators to dilate or expand your vagina. How did that work out?
Well, it's amazing. I tease him that he now has a custom-made vagina for him.
Designed to fit.
Designed to fit, you got it. Well, the vagina is an amazing muscle, and that's what we have to remember. It stretches to have a baby.
It is elastic.
It is. And so if a woman is determined to enjoy sex again, and that's the ultimate goal.
And you were determined.
I was determined. There's a lot of things you can do. So I use different dilators that you insert and apply pressure. So it pushes on the length. You use ones with different diameters so that the width is expanded. And, my doctor's always said to me, it's a use it or lose it. So what I found is that, once we started doing it a little more regularly, I'd say, okay, the first time, it needs to be, quick. It's all about you.
What is the bottom line, if you'll pardon the expression?
Yeah, the bottom line is, you need to find a partner that you can talk about it with, that's willing to do the hard work, and then give yourself time, and remember, it's not going to be great at first, but with practice, it's going to be good again.
Ooh.
And you can have a healthy, normal, I would say I have a better sex life today, because I understand my body and my partner a lot better. And we have a deeper intimacy today than we ever had.
You can learn more about Michelle Whitlock's experience by reading the book, How I Lost My Uterus and Found My Voice. Thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Sorry.
I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language on Radio MD. You can learn more about us at www.bodylanguage.org. I'm Christopher Springman.